Tonight's scripture reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 29 through 39. And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next town, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. The word of the Lord.
I have both cast out demons and had demons cast out of me. And let me tell you, it's not as fun as it sounds. It's kind of scary. It's kind of scary. And how is it not going to be scary, you know, with the whole repetition of the phrase, like, "In the name of Jesus, I command you, Satan, to come out." And both of these things happened at night, in the dark. Nobody seems to cast out demons on a sunny day at noon in the park. No. These experiences, they were also like pretty unsatisfying for me because, you know, you wouldn't think it, but it's kind of hard to tell when the demons come out. You know, you would think that it would be like some big thing, but, you know, there was no head turning all the way around or projectile vomit or... It was just sort of like... I mean, it seems like less of a presence of evil here to me. What do you guys think? You know? It's not, it's hard to tell. And when it was being cast out of me, the demons were being cast out of me, you know, I felt kind of a little bit bad for the caster-outers, you know? Like maybe there should be more for them. They wanted more, so, I mean, I'll admit it, I did a little shudder thing at the end just to, you know, give them something. What's it going to hurt? You know? So... But mostly, you know, these experiences were, well, embarrassing. Kind of embarrassing. Both me casting out the demons and the demons being cast out of me, well, they happened when I was like 15 years old. You know how it is. Everybody has their demon phase, you know. I mean, there's puberty, and then there's demon possession. It's all kind of happens roughly around the same time. I think it was embarrassing at the time, well, because... Even a bunch of 15-year-old kids know that "in the name of Jesus, Satan, I command you" is a bit of an overreach. I mean, it's hard to commit fully, too, you know, when you're that, because I don't know if we were quite all the way bought in, but it goes without saying that if you're going to command Satan, you kind of really need to commit. And then when I look back on those experiences, I feel embarrassed because... Surely there were probably some very real emotional, psychological, physiological issues going on with this that we didn't really know how to deal with. And our community and our tradition didn't give us, like, the tools we need to deal with them or articulate them. They gave us the devil. They gave us the devil, you know? And it was like, as kids, we were just, like, confused adolescents. Like, I'm real confused, you know? I mean, like, I know it's wrong, but I really want to, you know, that's the devil. That's the devil. Everything seems sort of like meaningless and sad, and that's the devil. And is it possible that I'm attracted to another? That's the devil. That is the devil. In the name of Jesus, come out. Or no, don't come out, but just the demons. We're talking just the demons. Yeah. It's hard to avoid demons in the Gospel of Mark. They're all over the place. The first miracle Jesus does in Mark's Gospel is cast out demons. Just 21 verses into the first chapter, and Jesus is already casting out a demon. And Jesus is in the synagogue. The demon is in the synagogue. That's not a very subtle indictment of the religious leaders here. First thing he does is a demon in the synagogue. There are 21 mentions of demons and Satan in Mark. And there's only 16 chapters. So that's like, you know, chock full of demons. Now, when I encounter all these demons in Mark, I bring to the text my 15-year-old understanding of demons, like learned from American evangelical folk theology, which I now reject as an unfortunate outgrowth of capitalist individualism. So I want to distance myself from these demons instead of trying to understand them. I want to skip over them. I mean, there's got to be plenty of other things to talk about in the Gospel of Mark. But Jesus does mess with demons a lot. And I like Jesus. I trust him mostly. So I tried to understand his demons. Mostly what we're dealing with demon-wise in Mark are your ruah tum aha, or in Greek, the pneumata akathrata, the unclean spirit. But there's a whole variety of demons in the Judeo-Christian mythos. There's Asmodeus, Baal-Berith, Bagdana, Baal, Deelbook, Lilin, Mazkin, Naaman, Oscan, Aeschylus, Samul, Satan, Succubus, Sulak, and some others that I can't pronounce. Or to speak their names would conjure their presence and they would inhabit the nearest human host. So that's me looking out for you. But back to the pneumata akathrata, the unclean spirit. The purity laws are foundational to Israel. One must remain ritually clean, pure, free from sin. Sin is anything that would cause you to be unclean. From your classics like touching a dead body or having a skin disease to eating certain foods, various kinds of interactions with animals, or some interactions with Gentiles. If you become unclean, then you must be baptized or you must make a sacrifice to become ritually clean again. The purity laws are so important to Israel because they spent a lot of their history in captivity, in foreign lands among people different from their tribe, practicing their foreign ways and worshiping their foreign gods. Or in the case of first century Palestine, they're occupied by the empire. And the Roman Empire brings with it its gods of power and gods of greed and gods of violence and gods of injustice. The pneumata in pneumata akatharta means air. The word for air and the word for spirit are the same. And these unclean spirits, they're in the air. It's impure air. And in the air in Roman-occupied Palestine, and the air in Galilee, in Jerusalem, is choked with these toxic Roman gods. It is possible to breathe in these toxic gods until they inhabit you, to breathe in these unclean spirits until you are possessed by them. In religious and magical practices, insulfation and exfoliation are ritual acts of blowing, breathing, hissing, or puffing that signify variously expulsion or renunciation of evil, or the devil, or the demons, or the infilling or blessing with goodness, breathing as in breathing in the Holy Spirit, or inhaling the grace of God. So like, you know, if you've ever seen like Neapolitans or Hungarians who do that thing where it's like, that is exfoliation. They are breathing out and keeping away the evil spirits. Even in every kind of yoga or mindfulness meditation practices, they have this insufflation and exhalation, the deep breaths in and the breathing out of all that is evil. Even it was these rituals of insufflation and exhalation were a part of Christian rituals and practices for most of early Christianity. The Christian practice of baptism used to always contain the priest blowing the sign of the cross onto the person being baptized. I don't know how you blow in the sign of the cross, but that's what it's like. But it just seems like a most basic understanding that we breathe in and we feel filled. We increase the oxygen in our blood, and we breathe out, and we can expel, well, these foreign gods that are in the air. Now, it seems like a distant, primitive sort of culture, but I can feel it. I can feel those toxic gods in the air as I move around every day and breathe in these gods of greed and these gods of injustice, gods of power. So maybe we're in this year of Mark. Maybe let's try this. Maybe let's go full in. Let's follow Jesus into these casting out of demon ways. Let's breathe out those gods, those toxic gods, and breathe in this radical mercy.